Vi ste uz SBS na srpskom.
You're listening to SBS Serbian, and we're talking to Dr. Nataša Čiča today, director of capacity.org. Nataša, welcome first of all to the program. Let's say hello.
Hi, Sophia.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in your business, Capacity. What exactly are you setting out to do?
Oh, well, my business is all about supporting people through change, especially quite difficult change and challenging change, and especially change that happens across all kind of divides, including cultural divides. And I often wonder if I've ended up doing that because I was born with a Balkan background, and we do know about change. So I started my life as a corporate lawyer, actually in Sydney, and then I worked as a political advisor to the federal parliament, specialising in immigration and national security issues. And then I did a whole lot of other things, and this is where I've ended up. And a lot of my work is one-on-one executive coaching for CEOs and people who are at the top of their game, who are responsible for a lot of people and sometimes a lot of money.
Not sometimes, often. A lot of money. amongst all the other things of you, as you said, that you have done, you've edited the 69th edition of the Griffith Review, which is why we have you on the program today, the European Exchange. And your particular exchange, your essay, talks about the connection between Australia and Serbia, more specifically your travels between Tasmania, your home state, and, you know, an area of northern Serbia called Vojvodina. Tell us a little bit about your essay. It's called Ripped in Half, but yes. I think most of us during COVID, not just even ripped a half, some people are into quarters, some into even smaller pieces, depending how many places you had planned on heading off to this year. But, you know, let's keep your halves, Australia and Serbia, Tasmania and Vojvodina. How has COVID changed what you planned for 2020?
Oh, absolutely, fundamentally, because I've been really fortunate. I've been able to spend my whole life really moving backwards and forwards between Europe and Australia. And recently, in the last 5 to 8 years, I've been spending more and more time in Serbia when that became easier to do in that recovery period after the war. And so now I have a home in both places. I have my family home in Tasmania, which is where I was born and grew up, and I live in the same house as my father, who's from Serbia. He's almost 90 now. And I also have a house of my own in Vojvodina, about 1 hour north of Belgrade. So I was supposed to be there now. So I've been spending about 4 or 5 months a year across the last few years based out of that house in Serbia and servicing my clients all over the world. And then when I'm in Australia, doing the opposite. So it's quite hard for me to be ripped away from the family and friends and colleagues that are very dear to me in Serbia at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's a sentiment that not just, you know, listeners of our program are going to get. All of the listeners on SBS Radio have been dealing with these problems in the last
Absolutely.
Couple of months, because we're all just, a bunch of people who don't really know where do we belong, you know, where do we want to go? Everyone's, you know, we're at home but wants to go home at the same time. And, you know, talking a bit about your Balkan background, and
yeah.
It's especially exciting to see, sort of ethnic names popping up in professional contexts. Tell us a bit more about the connection to the Balkans, but through your professional setting, what exactly are you organising and facilitating back in Serbia?
Well, I started to go back to Serbia properly, by which I mean not simply on family holidays, which, you know, were wonderful things to enjoy as a child. But then those visits were interrupted by the 90s wars, which smashed everything apart, as you know. And we had family all over the former Yugoslavia and still do. So about 8 years ago, I got a grant from a foundation in Melbourne. It's called the Sydney Meyer Fellowship. They gave me a chunk of money to spend on anything I wanted. And all I wanted was to go back to Serbia and develop develop some leadership programs for young people there and also deliver some cultural projects, because I realised that the generations below me, I'm in my early 50s now, so, you know, I was your age when the 90s war started,
yeah.
But I realised that those generations below me had missed a kind of chunk of stuff that we in Australia, especially people who've been able to go to university, have taken for granted. So I partly wanted to give something back, but I also knew that there was a lot that I would get back myself, because I really love the people there and I've always loved that country. And it was a great grief to me that as a younger woman I couldn't go and spend time there when the war was on.
Mm. And you've sent me a particular photo of the think tent that there's a bunch of you sitting in. And for our listeners that are maybe getting us on a different, you know, podcast application, if you head to our website, sbs.com.au/Serbian, you should be able to find the photo up there. It's a bunch of you sitting underneath a tent, not COVID safe, definitely, but that's okay. It's hopefully one day it will be again. Underneath you have a nice little chilim and some haystacks around. Yes. Tell us a bit more about what's happening in that photo. What's that about?
Well, that photo was taken in Belgrade at an art gallery near Sveti Sava called Transform Art. It's my think tent project, which I started in Tasmania and I've taken to a whole bunch of places. And what it involves is getting a blank canvas tent and making an interior decoration which is specific to the place where it is. So you've got a great eye, Sophia, so you spotted the chilim. And we also serve plums and a little bit of rakia and so on and so forth.
Just a little bit.
And I gather together about 15 people in a circle and host a conversation. So it's not a lecture. It's me opening a conversation on a topic and people are free to roam and say whatever they want. The only rule is you're not allowed to bring in a mobile phone and get distracted by that ping in your pocket or broadcast. So I take photos of it, I write notes, people bring books, sometimes people sing songs. And that day we did it. That was 2 years ago in Belgrade, and the gallery runs onto the street, so all kinds of people walked in and out, including a whole lot of tourists and people going backwards and forwards from work. And it's just a really, really lovely project, which I did last summer in the Museum of Contemporary Art Vojvodina in Novi Sad, and one of our guests in that think tent was the current Australian ambassador to Serbia, which was a fantastic thing.
Yeah, so you would say that the reactions were overall pretty positive. Do you think that they have a lot of similar projects going on over there at the moment?
I actually find the cultural scene in Serbia really lively. If you ask me what the really hot things are in Serbia at the moment that will build its future, they are IT. I've never met so many young IT geniuses in my life. And the others are the people working in the cultural space. So the look and feel and style of the way that they work that is really fresh and original. And I'm not entirely sure they know how good they are. So when I go there, I tell them. And we work together to create really innovative projects. So one of my sadnesses in these past months is that I haven't been able to get back again, because I was planning to do think tents in Zrenjanin, which is where my aunt used to live and which is very close to the house that I own in Vojvodina.
You're based, like you just mentioned, just north of Zrenjanin. What was it about that part of the country that captured your attention? And you know, we've discussed a little bit before this, but what are some of the lessons that you think it has for us back in Australia?
Well, it's funny, you know, Vojvodina is extremely flat. You know, it's flat as a pancake with those seeds of beautiful sunflowers and corn. It looks nothing like the city I grew up in, which is Hobart, which is dominated by a mountain.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we might say Sudbina. We might just say that something led me back. But I don't know, because it might also be that I'm very fortunate that my father, who was from Vojvodina, and my Australian mother took me there on holiday as a child for the first time when I was 11. So maybe it just got into my soul then. I don't know. But one thing I really love about it is the incredible complexity of the ethnic mix there. I mean, there are many, many, many different ethnic groups, and the village where my house is has a lot of ethnic Hungarians, ethnic Romanians, used to have a lot of ethnic Germans, also has a lot of Roma. And I really love that kind of mix. And that's quite different from Hobart, Tasmania, which is a little bit more monocultural.
Yeah, well, it is a good point that, you know, there are definitely pockets in the world where people very happily and very easily, without maybe even noticing so much that they're coexisting, they didn't need anyone to come and sort of teach them too much how to do it. They just sort of get on with their lives and get on with the day.
And there is this really bad stereotype since the 90s wars about Serbs as being somehow, I don't know, genocidal and racially intolerant and unable to live with people of different ethnic backgrounds. But my experience is that that's quite absurd. So I really love going to Vojvodina because there it is everywhere, all around you. And just dealing with all the different, even just simple things like going into the city hall in Zrenjanin, and there are, you know, all the languages of the area as official languages, is not something that most people deal with in Australia.
Mm. And another point that I wanted to touch on, why do you think cultural exchange is so important, even though in a lot of situations it's not really at the top of, you know, a financial priority for most countries, especially now since COVID is kind of ravaging the world economy and Australian economy. Why do you think it's still important to invest in culture, in professional exchange and in experiences that, you know, we have discussed in the last couple of minutes?
Well, because culture helps us understand who we are. It helps us understand where we came from, where we are now, where we might go, and how we might do that in relationship with other people. And I don't think as a human you can understand yourself except in relationship to other people, whether they're the people in your community that you live now, or the people in Australia now, or the people in the country you emigrated from, or ancestors who go back and back and back. So without story, we don't have any meaning about ourselves and our behaviours. So you'll see when you read the essay as well, I talk in that essay about character. I think that for me, practicing culture and developing cultural projects that engage as many people as possible in unfamiliar ways can open some really interesting questions about what living a good life means, what beauty is, what hospitality is, and what it means to move through life. And so at the end of the day, none of us is going to be here anymore. So what are we going to leave behind? A lot of us will leave behind material possessions and houses and cars and all that stuff, and stuff is really important, and economic security is really important, but so is the soul and the heart. And for me, that's the really big lesson that I've learnt in a very deep way from being fortunate enough to spend the last few years spending a lot of time in Serbia and going quite a lot deeper with people rather than simply being a tourist on holiday.
Yeah. And while we're talking about, you know, what the soul wants, before I let you go, what are you dreaming about as soon as COVID is sort of brought to a close and borders are opening back up again? What is the one thing you can't wait to do?
You know, Sophia, it is the ticket on the plane to go back to my house. Next year, Novi Sad and Timișoara in Romania and the city in Greece, I think, are Europe's capitals of culture. My house is almost exactly halfway in between Novi Sad and Timișoara. I'd love to be able to open that house next spring for people from all over the world who will be coming to that part of the world to understand its culture. So let's hope that those borders open and that we're able to get back on the planes and reconnect with the people that we love wherever they are.
I fully support you on that one. I'm very much excited for a bike ride through Vojvodina. It's beautiful, not a single hill in sight, and you don't even have to try. The bike goes on its own. Thank you so much, Natasha, for setting aside the time and for chatting with us today. And for our listeners, the link to the essay will be on our website, sbs.com.au/Serbian. Thank you, Natasha, and hopefully we will be in touch in Australia and possibly even in Serbia next year.
I really look forward to that. Thank you.
Želite da čujete još priča poput ove? Slušajte nas na Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify ili odakle god slušate podcast.